Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Let's talk.
John Brown.
Live in the sheets, Jonathan Henrik, the latest one from him. Delighted to say that I'm joined live on the line from somewhere, I imagine, in Germany. Jonathan himself. Jonathan, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure's all mine. Whereabouts are you this morning? Where do we find you this morning? Are you in LA, in London, and whereabouts are you?
At the moment, not quite as exciting. I'm at home in Cologne, Germany, at my parents' house, actually, visiting.
Very nice indeed. Yeah. So for those who don't know, because I was looking at your CV, blimey, I mean, London, Los Angeles, working with Grammy award-winning musicians. Also, you were at Wells, I believe, as well, the famous choral school there. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Wells Cathedral School. Yeah, that was only for like a couple months, though. But yeah, I went to London to join a music program when I was, I think, 15 or something. And then there was a quick Wells month or two. But, yeah, not for too long.
So who are your... Because, I mean, that opening, it's very keyboard-based, obviously. So who are your influences? And when did you sort of first, if you like, get bitten by the musical bug? Is there music in your family?
Oh, yeah, there is. I mean, for sure, first of all, I think Coldplay and Phineas, those two are kind of my... the holy grail for me in terms of music. Coldplay, Chris Martin in general, like his way of writing for piano has always influenced me since I can think. I think even before I properly started playing the piano, I already just loved it. I knew there was something special about it. My family's musical. My dad is in music. We always had a lot of instruments at home, especially a white grand piano that I kind of, when I was like 4 or 5 years old and I was tall enough to climb on the chair, I would kind of figure out I can make cool noises when I press the buttons, and that's kind of how it started.
A white grand piano. Are we talking Steinway? Are we talking the big, you know, the big one here? I mean, that sounds sort of very, that sounds, you know, and I'm of a certain age to be old enough to be your father. So right. I'm thinking sort of 80s pop here, very much, or 80s singer-songwriter groove.
Yeah, not a Steinway, unfortunately. however, there's quite a funny story with that particular grand piano. My dad used to work years and years and years ago with a quite famous conductor and band leader called James Last.
Yep.
This grand piano was a very surprising gift to my dad after they worked together, which was James Last's grand piano.
Wasn't James Last? Yeah. He was massive in Germany, wasn't he? James Last, if I remember.
He was massive. Yeah, he was huge. I mean, a little bit maybe before my time of in the music industry, but I met him once when I was like 5 years old or something. And but my dad worked with him, I think, in the 90s or something. I don't really know. And then for some reason, he got him that piano afterwards.
That's not bad at all. And you went to the States as well. You Boston, which obviously music college. And then you went to, was it Berklee as well?
Berklee College of Music in Boston. I was in Los Angeles first, straight from London, because I got a scholarship for a music school in Los Angeles. So I went there and networked and wrote with amazing people for like half a year or something, and then I got the offer from Berklee College of Music, and I didn't really think twice about that.
Absolutely not. Without being too personal, how old are you? Because I'm going to feel like 150 years old here, but how old are you, Jonathan?
I'm 24. I turned 24 in September.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. So I am feeling incredibly old here. So
now
the music scene and the way that you get your music out there and get noticed has changed incredibly. Because when I was playing bad guitar in front of frankly bored audiences back in the '80s, people used to, you know, that was the way that you got exposure was basically gigging and doing the hard jobs. Now I'm not saying that you're not doing that, Jonathan, but the way that social media, I mean, I started off with YouTube and whatever, and everybody was doing stuff in their bedrooms and whatever, and the way that the music scene changed and instruments became more available to younger people. But now, of course, with the social media and things like TikTok, that's really sort of changed the way that you get your music out there.
Absolutely. Fundamentally, it's crazy. And you know, it's actually funny. I was not a big TikTok believer when it started because I thought it wouldn't really work for me. I didn't really want to make like silly little videos where I like dance and do like, I don't know, you know, the kind of stuff that it started with. And I just thought, you know, I had friends of mine, some mates who completely popped off. They got like Sony record deals from like one viral video. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. But like, that won't work for me because I can't do these kind of like videos. It's just not me. And it was really from a place of frustration that I started live streaming. So for the ones who don't know, there's like a separate little area within TikTok where you can go live. You can press a button and it's kind of basically like TV, but like within TikTok, like a real-time live stream. And I didn't really know that existed, but I just was like, well, why not? I'm just going to give it a go, try it. And that, for some reason, because I play piano a couple hours a day anyway, so I thought I might as well just put my phone there and see what happens. And that just snowballed. And for some reason, I don't really know how or why it happened, but people started watching.
I guess it was. How do you get? Because I mean, I could go live stream, you know, on when I'm doing. But then I get sort of like three listeners, you know, one of So how could? But you know, you've got 80,000 followers across all media platforms here. So how did the sort of the snowball get going? Was it just literally a sort of, I'm going to say word of mouth, but I suppose that's not even applicable to TikTok, is it? It's just people were recommending you?
It's strange. Do you know, I mean, when you said they're only like you would only get three people watching, that is exactly how it started for like the first couple weeks or something. I had like nobody watching, like two people, and sometimes I got lucky there were five people.
Oh,
like, okay. I know it was crazy. And then it just grew from that. I don't know, at some point there were like 15 and I thought I made it, you know. And then the 15 turned to 25 and suddenly 100 and a couple hundred, and I don't know, that's just how it goes. I really have no idea, it just suddenly happened.
Here's the thing, how do you balance then between being, you know, serious singer-songwriter, going out there and playing live, i.e. in concerts, you know, in gigs, and then, of course, the actual, because, or going on social, because, well, you know, I talk to a lot of musicians, I'm lucky enough to speak to a lot of musicians on my show, and they talk about, you know, the live performance and how you can't beat that. However, for a lot of people, you know, the social media gives you the opportunity to reach an audience that you wouldn't get to. I mean, I've picked up bands on Instagram, for example, who've turned up on my feed, and I've gone, that's not bad, and I've gone down that rabbit hole and looked at them, and these are people that I probably would never have heard of if I wasn't on the socials.
For sure. I don't know. I think playing live is, of course, something that can't be beat in any way, shape, or form. It's something very unique and a very, like, a particular type of rush that you feel, and a very special way of getting your music heard, and a very special way of getting people's real-time reactions, seeing their faces, seeing whether they clap or not clap, you know, like you can really get the real-time feedback. I think going live isn't exactly that, but it gives you the feel of being seen real time, and it does give you a real time feedback because there's a live chat, so people can comment or not. and I don't know, it gets close. I mean, it is like practicing, but with people watching. Basically, it's busking. It's busking in the internet. That's usually how I call it. I go busking when I went to Berkeley in Boston. I went busking on the streets there. And it's really like that. It's like busking, but on the internet. And
I like that a lot. Busking. I like the idea of busking on the internet.
Right. Yeah.
How do you approach then the craft, you know, the singing, the songwriting? Is it melody first? Is it lyrics first? Notebook? Do you keep a notebook with you? Or do you sit down and go, today, Jonathan, I will get those four bars finished. This is a lot. And I'm not getting up from this piano until I do.
Uh-huh. I think those are always the frustrating days where you're like, let's write a song today. And it never really works out like that. It sounds so corny and so cheesy, and it sounds like such a line, but it is really true that sometimes the songs find you, and if a song wants to be written, then it just happens somehow, and those are mostly the best songs. I mean, songs that just happen and that you write in like 15 minutes and feel so easy. Sometimes you kind of start overthinking and be like, oh, it can't be that easy. Like, must be something wrong with it if I wrote it in like 10 minutes. But sometimes those are really the best things that just came out of the void somewhere. Generally speaking, though, I piano is my musical language that I like the most, that came to me the earliest, I think when I was like 4 or 5 years old, on James Last's grand piano. And I usually start by sitting at the piano and just playing, improvising random stuff or covering a song and figuring out like cool little voicings or progressions that I really like. And whenever there's something that speaks to me, I just go from there. Usually I just hum melodies on top of it, or like make up some nonsense, non-existing fake English lyrics. And then real lyrics kind of come into place.
And so, about the live experience, I mean, do you go solo? Do you have a band? Do you corral your mates and find a drummer from somewhere? I mean, how, you know, do you do musical collaborations when you play live?
Right. Yeah, I love doing that. It gets a little complicated for me in particular sometimes, because I'm in a lot of different places sometimes. So my producers in Nashville. All the people that I make music with, write music with, are in Boston or Los Angeles. And my parents and my friends are at home in Germany and then or in England, in London. So I'm kind of I'm very fortunate that through the live streaming, I'm able to kind of live that life of making music in a lot of different places. So I think I wouldn't change a single thing. But it is sometimes a little bit annoying that, as you said, you know, having one particular band that I can play with wherever I go isn't really possible if they're like in Boston, but I have a gig somewhere in London or something like that. So I try to make myself being able to play all of my songs, just me and the piano. So that being the skeleton, but also you're not missing anything if it's just me and the piano. So I don't want to write or make songs where you necessarily need like a full band of production in order for it to sound good. However, whenever I have access to a couple friends or band members that can play with me, I absolutely love doing that as well.
So now Nashville, have you been over there yet? Have you been doing it virtually? Tell me a little bit about the Nashville Collection.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times now. We just recorded an EP in Nashville, which will hopefully come out in February. We're just in the last touches of the mix. It was actually quite a crazy textbook story of networking, how that happened. I was I attended a seminar where they would introduce some industry guests to us once in a while, and I was a student at the time. It was like 2 years ago or something, and one day there was this guy, this producer from Nashville, who was this crazy person. He wrote a song for Beyonce and the Jonas Brothers and the Backstreet Boys, and BTS, and like literally like the biggest people on the planet. And we had the opportunity to speak to him for like 15 minutes through Zoom in that seminar. And I thought, like, oh my God, that was crazy. And then I was able to somehow get his email address, and I just emailed him afterwards and like, thank you so much for your time. Like, this was so interesting. If you ever had a second to just listen to like half of a song of mine, I would appreciate any type of feedback, because I thought it was like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And he came back to me like a couple months later, being like, yo, bro, like, I love the songs. If you ever want to try something, feel free, like, come to Nashville to my studio, we can try recording some stuff. And I was like, okay, sure. So that's how that started. I went to Nashville and we recorded like one or two songs. And we yeah, loved the vibe, and now there's a whole album.
I mean, just, you know, just recording in Nashville, I mean, you must be getting the, like, the goosebumps on the back of your neck must be going up, and it must be quite interesting. Sure. It's interesting as well, because, you know, the thing is, you've got an original voice, and when you go to record in somewhere like Nashville, I suppose the temptation would be for a lot of people to try and sound like everybody else, but if you do mm-hmm. that, then you're doomed, because obviously you need to get yourself out there and be yourself, rather than be sort of pigeonholed or try and be what you think they want to hear.
Right. 100%. And I mean, we all have people that we look up to. We all have influences. We all have, you know, times where we're like, oh, I wish I would have written that particular song. Like, I wish I would have written that piano riff. But I think, you know, your particular style, your personal style comes through at some point. And it's made of all of these bricks, all of the people that you look up to. No one just comes up with something that no one's ever heard of. You know, they're like, little bricks made of things that you were influenced by your entire life. And yeah, I don't know. I appreciate that. Thank you, though.
It's not a problem at all. Now, we mentioned that TikTok is your big thing. And of course, you know, we don't need to go down the geopolitical route, but there's going to be an old sheriff in town, or a new sheriff returning to town, when President-elect Trump takes over. And he's made some worrying noises about TikTok. Mm-hmm. That must sort of raise an eyebrow for you and the way you get your message across.
For sure. It's very... I actually just had a chat about that the other day with a mate of mine who's huge on TikTok as well, who's in America. So he's in a even bigger of a predicament than I am, because I am kind of lucky enough to not be fully based in America anymore. So once I'm, like, as long as I'm here, it's somewhere in Europe or anywhere else, I'm okay in terms of I can at least still access the app and go live, not for my American audience anymore, if that actually goes through, but at least for anyone else. But I mean, yeah, it's very weird, and I don't really know what will happen even if that goes through. Like, I can't really picture it. I don't know what, like, whether you can't even access the app anymore, like, there's so, like, little information about that. It's just so many rumors, and so, yeah, I don't know. But it is very strange, and I hope that, I don't know.
Well, it will be interesting to see how creatives, how artists, how writers get their stories out there. Because if, you know, you're basically shutting down a method that is, and especially, you know, I mean, I've got goddaughters who are 17 and 13, and they live on TikTok. I mean, that is their, mm-hmm. that is their thing. Okay, we're in Europe here, but still, right. if you multiply by that by a factor of several million throughout the world, and America right. is a huge TikTok nation, so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with it.
For sure. Funny thing, here's the thing with TikTok, is it's revolutionary, because social media in general, but TikTok in particular, everyone, the great thing is, you don't need a record label anymore to be seen by people. You don't need it. Everyone can technically blow up from their room by putting their phone up and playing a little video. That's the good thing about it. The bad thing about it is, everyone can blow up from their room without doing anything about it, which means that suddenly everyone, like, is in competition with literally everyone. Like, people who write songs their entire life are in competition with people who just picked up the guitar for the very first time, because everyone tries to fit through the same medium, through the same door, which is great if it works for you, but it's kind of annoying, because there are millions and millions of people who, like, you wouldn't have that type of competition, like, in the 80s, maybe, where you would just have to go to an A&R and just fret an instrument and play some great songs, and there aren't that many people who can do that. Not saying that it was necessarily easier to get through that door in the 80s, but it was just a very different type of competition. So it's very interesting.
So here we are, New Year, 2025. Where did that go? What have you got coming up, Jonathan? What can people look out for from you?
Yeah, I mean, Lavender Sheets, the song that you played, that was the first single of the EP that's coming out. And we have, it's going to be an EP with four songs and three interludes in between. So we really tried to get, like, a whole project out, instead of just releasing another EP with four pop songs. We wanted to feel like a show, like an experience, mm-hmm. and a whole kind of a representation of how I felt during the time of me writing it. And I'm very, very excited. It's the first project that I ever release. I've only released singles before. And I hope that this comes out in February. As I said, we're just touching up the mixes and finishing everything up, and then should be good to go for February. And yeah, I would love to go on a tour and really make use of all the people that I could reach through TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's also kind of a
must. I think we should bring you to Spain at some point. I think that would be. I think you doing your thing. Maybe on, you know, maybe on at a Sundowner as the beach set, as the sun sets over the Mediterranean. You're on a beach. What do you think, Jonathan? Is that, you think we should get that as a plan?
Please, I think I would never leave.
The sunset sessions. I can see it now. If people want to find you online, obviously, and listen to the latest stuff. I mean, I know you're on Spotify, but where's the? Because you do have a website. Because I'm looking at it now. So here's your 15 seconds to plug yourself. Off you go.
Right. Oh dear. Okay. Elevator pitch. The website is good. I think in general, Instagram is more like my new like website. Instagram is just jonathan.henrich, H-E-N-R-I-C-H. And yeah, TikTok works, same name, same otherwise, Google, YouTube. I'm pretty much anywhere.
Pretty much anywhere and everywhere. Well, you've been on my show this morning. I'm glad we got hold of you finally to come in. And thanks for dropping in at short notice. Really like the first song. I'm going to play one from your back catalogue, which is There's You. Does that meet you with your approval? Can I play that one? Or were you always picking another that one? Okay.
I love that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Jonathan Henrich, it's been a real pleasure. And hopefully we'll see you in Spain very, very soon.
Hopefully so. I would love that.
Faces out of plastic. Fill places made for greed. Where music comes from fabrics. But skin is covered in silky sheets. People drink champagne to celebrate what they have made. Congratulate each other. But when the rain comes, they run for cover. And in between there's you.
Jonathan Henrich, and there's you. Watch this space, as the saying goes.